Should we redo the roll call? I think we're good.
All directors are present.
Okay, let's go ahead and vote on the resolution to authorize remote teleconference.
I make the motion.
We got a motion.
I'll second.
And the second. Jeannie, go ahead and do the roll call.
Chair Doyle?
Here, yeah, aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
And Director Phillips?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes. The resolution is up.
So let's go ahead and introduce our guests, even though they introduced themselves earlier. You guys want to go ahead and introduce yourself one more time since we're now recording?
Sure.
I'm Braxton.
Yeah, my name's Kyle.
And I'm Jenna.
And one way to remember my mom's name is Shanna Banana.
Shanna Banana. Okay.
Yes, it really does.
All right. I will not forget that now. So welcome. So now we jump right into public comment. Are you guys are actually on the agenda, or do you want to actually bring something up in public comment?
Yeah, if it's okay for us to speak briefly, we wouldn't mind just sharing. Jeannie, we had stopped by the office, and Jeannie mentioned that you might have a chance to just be a part of this meeting and answer any questions if you have any. But yeah, our main interest, we were thinking of possibly putting a irrigation well in on our lot in Durham. And when I went through to the Department of Environmental Health through Butte County, Paul just mentioned that we would need to ask for permission through Durham Irrigation District to be able to do this. It was a 5-inch well. We've planted a lot of fruit trees now. We just finished installing our pool this weekend, so we just filled that up. And then we've got two fairly decent sized lawns. I just thought long-term, thought that might be a wise idea to put in a well if we're even allowed to. And I don't even know if even if you approved it through the Department of Environmental Health, Paul was saying that they'd have to go through another government agency through California for the application process. So I'm not even certain if it would work, but anyhow, long-term, we hope to be in Durham for the next 50 years, and just thought it'd be wise to do that just long term. So
where is your guys' lot at?
We're on Tracy Ranch Road. It's an acre parcel. It's Peterson Estates and Tracy Ranch. We're I can't even think of the other crossroad.
Holland?
Or Holland, yeah.
Okay.
So
you're on the corner, or
no?
It's at 2469. So
2469.
Directors, this is item number 8.6.2 in your agenda packet.
Okay. So what we can do is, since that was just a public comment, Kyle, if you don't mind, we'll bring that up. We'll get down to 8.6.2 as fast as we possibly can, and then I'm sure we'll have a few pieces of feedback on there, and then give you our thoughts and ideas on the direction.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so let's keep going. Next item is the presentations. There's none. Let's move on to the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
Got a motion and a second. Let's go ahead and do the roll call.
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
And Director Phillips?
Kevin?
Aye, sorry, I must have been muted too early.
Happens. All right, so we got approval on the consent agenda, nothing on the regular agenda, anything removed. The correspondence, these Item 6.1 is for information only, and you need some information on 6.2, Jeannie?
I do not know how to proceed on it. I was hoping council would give us guidance, but I have not heard back from council on my next steps on this matter.
Have we texted Jeff tonight? Maybe he just forgot.
Try to call him.
Yeah, I talked to him earlier this today, and he said 6 o'clock, and I said nope, 5:30. But I'm not sure he was paying attention.
Okay.
Okay, I'll text him.
Yeah, and so just on items 6.2, I think Jeff needs to be the one that handles that. So if we want to table it until Jeff gets on the meeting, or table it until next. I think there needs to be some type of resolution to hand over the elections over to the Butte County and accept whatever cost is going to cost.
Okay, well, let's go forward with everything. And as soon as he jumps on, if everyone's okay with that, we'll go back and discuss that one.
Okay, just a note, this cannot be tabled till next board meeting. I need to get back to the elections office by July 6th.
Okay, we'll get it wrapped up tonight. Okay, moving on to item 7. 7.1, water operations business. Mike, you on?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you. You want to take it away?
Sure, absolutely. So for item 7.1, the equipment cover estimate, this is the estimate to get the steel covers on the work that we did at the Alley site and the Holland site. The pricing for that estimate, the way he priced that out is he said that instead of purchasing two separate covers, it's actually cheaper to buy one and then cut it in half and add a few trusses. So that is the price installed to get covers over the all the tanks that we basically installed, the Alley site and Holland site. So
it's a no-brainer to me. Raymond, anything you want to add to it?
No, I think that's 6431.10, that covers materials and labor for both, huh?
Yeah. I was very surprised. I was like, that's super affordable. I might have them put one at my house, actually. But yeah, that's
totally
the cost. So that one. Okay. And then something that Raymond and I discussed, do we need a vote on that, or is it just?
Yeah, let's take a second and vote on 7.1.1 for the to accept the estimate from Ideal Steel Buildings at Chico for $6,431.10 to cover the tanks at both well sites. We have a motion.
I'll make the motion not to exceed 643233.
I'll second that. Do we want to add a little wiggle room in there in case something happens? They have to put an extra truss if they didn't quite get on the estimate, or give them like a little leeway, 10% or something. I don't know.
Add it, Raymond. I'll second it.
Okay. Well, I'll amend his motion for the 6431.10 and add 15% as a contingency in there.
Okay.
50% to the total?
15.
Okay. Like, that's a lot of wiggle room. Okay, so a contingency of 15%.
Does that sound reasonable to you? I just made that up. So
he thought he was building a bridge. So he was
county work. I get it.
He was county work in it. Yeah.
Okay, I'll second the amendment.
Okay, we got a motion and a second to approve Ideal Steel Buildings 6431.10 plus an allowance of 15% for unforeseen cost additions, and we've got a motion and a second. Jeannie, go ahead and take roll call.
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
And Director Phillips?
Aye.
All right, pass this. If you could put that in the, is that one in the folder, Jeannie, for me to sign? Or does Mike sign that one?
Let's see here. It says customer signature. So I'll go ahead and put it in for your, I'll put it in the warrant folder for one of your signatures.
Okay, perfect.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, that's fine.
Or do we want to just authorize Mike to sign it? Or what do you think?
You guys can just authorize me and I'll sign it. That's fine.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I'll take care of it. Yeah.
Done.
Okay. So moving on to 1.2. This is an estimate for a sonic well sensor. Speaking to John over at Durham Pump, one thing that he kind of made me privy to is that obviously a lot of ag wells in the area are starting off this year, or were starting, this was back in May, starting off this year with lower static water levels in their wells than the previous year. And obviously, I mean, we're all in a drought. Everybody's aware of that. And I've been trying to figure out a way to do better, monitoring of obviously of our sources. And the issue is typical means for measuring your static water levels, they involve breaking the sanitary seal on a well and lowering a probe into the well. And you definitely usually want to chlorinate the well afterwards. And it's a process. But I found a company that makes a sonic well sensor. And basically what it does is it fires a sound wave down and bounces it off where the water's sitting at. And monitors real time what your static water level is, what your pumping water level is. And I spoke to Mark a little bit about this as well. And I think it's pretty important that we start monitoring our groundwater levels given where we're at in this drought, and at least just get some data points going so that we can form like a case study of what our groundwater levels actually are, because we just don't want to assume that everything's all good down there in our wells when it might not be. And I just want to be privy to a bad situation, basically. Does that make sense?
I don't think this issue is going away. I think the fact that we don't measure it is probably bad on our part. So I think we should probably start doing it. Raymond or Kevin, any feedback?
Yeah, Mike came to me about this, and I think it's an amazing piece of technology. It's a piece of information that we've always wanted to know, and it's always been more of an ordeal to actually find out where our levels are, and now with this we can have the capability of monitoring the pumping level and the static level. It's a great insurance policy in my mind. I would really recommend that we move forward with that.
Yeah, I agree. It did. It looks like you have an estimate here from Sierra Water Utility. Is there other competitors out there that we need to kind of just run it by, or are we happy with just throwing it there?
So just on that pricing, just to preface a little bit, I couldn't find any data. I found that was from one vendor. I couldn't find any actual pricing. That was just from the one vendor. So that price is associated with that. I can do some shopping around if you guys would like to get a more competitive bid. The pricing is just for one, because I wanted to give it a trial run. I didn't want to present it to you guys and be like, here's three. The sensor itself, it doesn't come with any software. So you own all the data. You basically put a chip in there, and it's fully integratable with SCADA and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, if you guys want to shop around, I can look around for some more pricing. It's just that was the ballpark that I got from this vendor. So
Yeah, if you can, I don't think we need it. You need to bring it back for acceptance, but if you can do shopping and shopping around just to make sure that we're getting the best price, that would be great. And I'll make the motion to approve the purchase of this unit, I'm not looking at the price at this point.
32, 42, 45.
Yep, that's my motion.
Okay, we got a motion.
Do you want to add a little kids on there, kid?
Do your magic, Raymond.
Do your county magic.
I'll amend Kevin's motion and add the 15% contingency.
Second.
All right, we got a motion to approve the 32, 42, 45 for the sonic well sensor with a 15% upside possible. Jeannie, we got a motion and a second. Let's go ahead and vote.
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
And Director Phillips?
Aye.
Thank you.
You got it, Mike.
Okay, great. So moving on, the 1.3, the Butte Utilities Council, nothing really pertaining to Durham on this. It was mainly, Paradise and PG&E. So nothing to really report on that. And then let's see here. A letter from Cal Fire for the ISO survey and fire flow. We coordinated with Chris Boyd, the fire captain. He wanted to do some testing. This is for insurance purposes, and maybe marking. Kind of helped me out because I'm not too versed in this, but we basically denied his request to do like fire flow testing. And we just thought that Mark could give him some calculations based off, our pipe size and pumping capacity. So that's basically what that is.
Was he okay with that?
They want additional, let me see what the last email, because they just emailed me actually. I mean, he kind of has to be okay with it. I don't think, maybe Jeff could, I mean, I don't know. Again, this is out of my wheelhouse. I'm not sure what our responsibilities are, but I know that this has something to do with, I think it's insurance pricing. I'm not.
Yeah, they're going through a recertification of the ISO ratings around all over Butte County. And so in the ISO ratings, the insurance does take that into consideration when it's looking at fire protection from structures. Mark, you probably have a pretty good familiarity with this, right?
Yeah, so we responded to just some data they wanted. There's some form reporting the fire department sends into ISO, and then the ISO follows up with I would expect them to show up and interview, and get more detail about our water system. And they're really, it's like they want 6,000 gallons for vanilla. It's like we can't come anywhere near that. So there's no point in, flow testing a hydrant over there, because we can show them it's just an 8-inch pipe and only so much water goes through an 8-inch pipe. So we can't get anywhere near what they want. So, and they just asked for three locations in the town is all Tank, Vanilla, and Almendra. So I don't know if they're going to be looking more, but I expect them to be coming into town at some point and wanting more information. Mike, maybe just forward me the last email from the fire department.
Okay.
So I've got that information and we can, we'll give them everything we can, but I don't like the idea of flow testing the hydrants if we don't have to.
I agree with that. And a lot of times they'll just require a water tender on site for those sites so that they know they can't flow what they're looking to flow, but they'll have a water tender to back it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
So moving on into the operator logs, we'll just start with April. A lot of it was just basically maintenance stuff, running auxiliary power, and then going through the whole motion of removing the old tank at the alley site and getting that site prepped to have tanks installed there. So also meeting with John from Northern California Fence, because obviously the alley is kind of tight, so we had to pull down some fence posts, actually a good portion of the fence, to get both cranes and trailers in their position correctly to lift the tank off of the concrete posts and get them out of there. So let's see here. Other things, you know, fixing a broken meter cover, investigating a customer, you know, complaining of a leak. And then also going through the Connex box a little bit. Because one thing that I wanted to bring up, I don't know if it's on the agenda. Let me look here. But I basically got an updated price quote from all the parts for the Brown Faber pipeline replacement. And I know that at some point we'll probably want to get those on order. Because I mean, we, in terms of sourcing materials, we're looking at an extremely long lead time for some things, and I don't want to wait till we're ready to pull the trigger on the project and then order the materials and still be, you know, 6 to 7 months out to get those materials to complete the project. We had a whole bunch of stuff in the Connex box that the district is not using, like, and it's old things that have failed. I don't know why they were held on to. So that was that, just kind of cleaning up the Connex box to take inventory if we decide to pull the trigger on ordering parts for the Brown Faber pipeline.
I feel like we talked about that and decided that was a good idea a couple months ago.
We talked about it, but I don't think we ever had a meeting where we discussed it and okayed it, because I think the change in pricing, I'd have to look, but it went up pretty significantly. I mean, it was on pace with inflation, so.
Yeah, because I remember we were thinking, you know, maybe trying not to, since we have a little bit of time to gather that stuff, you know, like maybe order all the valves, and then, you know, maybe the next month order all the pipe, you know, just maybe try and spread it out in some sort of sequence that would make sense, you know, and just kind of move with the next couple months, go ahead and assemble all that stuff. That's if we have the time to still do that, that's what I'd like to do.
Okay. It's on item 8.111, so we can make that motion when we get there.
Okay, that's good. So that's pretty much it for April. Moving into May, let me see, just general, you know, maintenance stuff. Let's see here. And then obviously we started the alley tank, or the alley site tank project. And it all went pretty smoothly. I mean, they got the tank out of there. There was no issues. The tank came right off, demoed. They poured a nice pad. Everything mocked up great. When I did a few pressure tests, found some leaks, you know, called them back to replace it. After they patched those little pinholes up, everything was fine. I flushed the alley site very thoroughly before connecting it, and I pulled a back T sample, and two back T samples, and they both passed. At different dates, and then I measured the chlorine residual to see if there was any like chlorine drop off after pressurizing the system, and there was none. So there was no indication of like a drop off. I'm sorry, there was no chlorine residual drop off. So there was no indication of like bacterial infestation or anything like that. Let's see. And then one thing with the alley site, when I was getting it all going, for some reason, for whatever reason, the LCD display on the drive started failing. It's a pretty common thing. And it wasn't too difficult of a fix. They came out, they swapped the display out, and then the pump was functioning totally fine. So that was done. And then let me see, going down here. Okay, so there was also a there was a service line leak from some work that Brown did, and the shutoff valve, it split. It was like a little brass valve. They threaded it in, and it split at that valve. So they fixed that. We shouldn't be getting a bill for it. If you do, let me know, because Chris said that that's on him. So just let me know. He said that he'll make that right. So there should be no charge associated with that. And then there was a leak from a meter behind Sinclair's gas station. There's an alleyway there. And that alley, I wasn't aware of this, but that pipeline in there, it only has like a foot and a half of cover. And one thing that I wanted to possibly bring up with you guys, is there any way that we can like restrict, do we have the authority to restrict like gross vehicle weight in some of our alleyways? Or no? Can we like put up signs or anything? Because that particular alleyway is extremely shallow, and there already are some pretty decent sized ruts in there.
Raymond, is that Public Works or is that Butte County we can request, or what's that process?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. The hard part's going to be enforcement. You know, I mean, if we have a garbage truck that's going down through there, we'd probably have more luck, you know, talking to Recology and letting them know, and just having them change their route or something. You know, if they pick up that dumpster and then they buzz down the alley to go over to the next street, you know, we might have a chance with that. I can't say that I've ever seen the county put up load restriction signs in alleys.
Okay.
Usually that's out of maintained mileage, and the county washes their hands of any type of work that involves any kind of maintenance.
So in terms of maintaining that alleyway, because there are some like decent sized ruts, who's responsible for filling those potholes? Is it Public Works or is it us?
Public Works won't do it, because they don't receive any gas tax money on in alleys. The only time that Public Works gets involved with that kind of stuff is if it gets political and a supervisor or somebody comes in. But you know, I would think departments there that they should share, you know, the owners of that apartment should share a little bit of the brunt of that. Otherwise it's probably just going to fall back on us, like we, you know, put that gravel and did all the main maintenance on that alley between Campbell and Favor.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we suffer the consequences if we don't fix it ourselves.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I'll just have it filled in and compacted with gravel, because I mean that's all we can really do aside from paving it, which would be kind of pricey, but
might be the easiest way.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. So I'll have those ruts filled in and have it the gravel like compacted and stuff. But for that meter box, the meter was plastic, and then the traffic box, the meter box wasn't traffic rated, so it had been ran over multiple times. It was an old galvanized line. I ran new inch and a half schedule 80 PVC. We installed a traffic rated box and we poured a concrete collar around it. Kind of the same thing we did for the property that's actually on the corner of that alleyway that kept getting ran over. So hopefully we have no more issues with that particular service connection being ran over and leaking. And then let's see. And then I ran, I ran the alley site in lead. This was pre-irrigation. So I ran it in lead, like pre everybody irrigating heavily, and it ran totally fine. We had no issues with production or anything like that. And then one thing that I did find is following when So you guys are aware of the issue we had with the oak tree damaging that 4-inch AC line.
Yeah.
And we're kind of working on the easement for that. What I found is that when irrigation is very heavy on that side of town, the old way that we would supplement pressure on that side of town would be by having Holland be in second. And it would, the way the pipeline is, Holland could pump water actually around the library site. So it could get water around it instead of working like against it, if that makes sense. And between the library site and Holland site, that was enough to supplement pressure during like peak irrigation. But what I'm finding is that there's a pretty significant pressure zone forming on the library side of town now that that line isn't connected. Because what's happening is the Holland site, it's programmed to maintain a certain pressure, and it is maintaining that pressure on that side of town. So it won't ramp up to meet demand on the other side because it doesn't sense anything. It's basically working against library site. So it says like, oh, we have 57 PSI. We're just going to stay at this speed. Meanwhile, on the other side of town, we have 48 PSI, which is, that's pretty low. We don't really operate at those pressures. So what I found is that I have to have the alley site come on and at a certain, I have like an irrigation time that I've kind of like programmed for the time clocks, which is from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And alley site supplements the library and kind of backs it up because Holland, it won't, even if it's fully ramped up, it's still not going to, at its like higher pressure program, it still won't build pressure adequately on that side of town because it's working against the pressure that library site's building. So I changed the programming a little bit, but then what I found, I went out at 3 a.m. in the morning to collect some data, and I found that alley site was running at full speed when supplementing library. And normally that would be okay. The problem with that is that alley site is an open hole well, so there's no bottom on it. So it'll at full capacity, it will lift sand, and we really don't want to sand up our line. So what I had to do was have Holland site to come on during this 3 to 9 o'clock time period to supplement alley to keep it from running at 500 gallons a minute, which is at its near capacity. Ultimately, the issue that I'm getting at is with that 4-inch AC line not being connected, we're using more energy to meet the town's demands during peak irrigation. And I think that we should really step on the gas if we can on figuring out. I mean, I know we're limited by legal constraints, but the longer that pipeline isn't connected, the more energy we're going to use to meet peak demand during irrigation times, because each pump is basically handling its correlating zone in town now, instead of having library handle something and then the Holland site supplement the library. Does that make sense? I'm sorry if I confuse you guys.
No, I think it makes sense, Mike. So your point is to move forward sooner than later with that 4-inch line, and that'll resolve the amount of overpumping that's happening to maintain the pressure.
Yeah, basically, because we're having to run the ideal. And I've started gathering extra data. Typically, the way that we're doing things, we would just gather like production and chlorine usage, pressure, and that stuff. But I've been actually reading the PG&E meters every day and gathering that data. And so Holland site, when it's running and supplementing, it'll range from 14 to 23 kilowatts. That's its draw when it's running at like, you know, in its pumping capacity ranges. But since I have to run Alley site to supplement that side of town and also run Holland to supplement the Alley side of town, to refrain, to lower the speed for Alley site so it doesn't lift sand, we're drawing, basically we're just drawing more energy, and we're going to see a bump in our utility bill because of that. So I would like to just get Holland back to being the second in line, because it also has a sand filter on it. So if it's running and it's lifting sand, the sand filter will backwash, and we don't have to worry about that. So, yeah.
That 4 inch is the only looping we have on that, in that area, only redundancy in the feed. So, and I wrote up the, you know, we got the plat and legal description for that easement. So we just need to follow up with the school district.
And then another thing that I had to do is lower. So the library site, it always was restricted at 55 Hertz, which is just basically, it's a motor speed. It produces a certain gallons per minute, 411 gallons per minute. Well, this year, I don't know if the water table, you know, dropping has had an effect on it, but what I noticed at 55 Hertz, it kind of, the motor speed bounces a little bit, and what you want is consistent, smooth motor speed, because that would indicate the bearings aren't getting taxed and things of that nature. So when I restricted the flow a little bit down to 54 Hertz, the motor speed, it seemed to stabilize and operate a lot more smoothly. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. We don't have that pipeline connected, and we've had to restrict the library's capacity. So we really need it connected so that we can have Holland supplemented. And that kind of rolls into why I want to get a sounder, because I just want to know what's going on in our wells and kind of gather more data and form a case study of what we got going on. So that, and then I had some fun over at Kevin's house and sheared off a shutoff valve. It's a 180 degree shutoff valve. I was trying to close it, and the valve will close partially, but it won't close all the way. And I don't know why. I'm guessing it's probably sediment, because I literally had operated that valve maybe a few months ago to replace the meter on his home. And it was working perfectly fine. But then for whatever reason, these 180 degree shutoff valves, they only close in one direction because they have like locking mechanisms to restrict the movement. And it broke. So I have to replace that. And that's
well, it happened at the right look. It happened at the right address, in my opinion.
I don't know. it looked pretty bad. I was actually pretty embarrassed, honestly. I was like, oh, of course it would happen right here. But
you know. Yeah. All right. Anything else, Mike?
Nope, that's it for the logs. And then in terms of 7.3, the pressure tank updates, that's all done. All the pressure tanks are finished. We're fully operational at all sites.
Excellent.
And then 7.4, we took possession of our replacement 50 horse. I have it at locked up at the library site, sitting on a pallet. And I thought about wrapping it up, but they told me not to wrap it up, because like water will. I thought about like wrapping up in like some sort of like plastic wrap, but I guess like humidity can actually form inside. So they recommended that we just keep it clean, but just set it out in the open so that we don't have any like moisture build or anything like that. And then that's pretty much it.
Hey Mike, I just wanted to let you know that the whole pressure tank project, I mean, turned out awesome. It looks fantastic. Have you noticed a difference in performance since now that you've had a few weeks with everything operational?
I mean, in terms of operation, just the way there's no more bouncing, and since our pressure vessel was so far away from most of our motors, but our our signal was, you know, right next to them, you get like this kind of like feedback loop where they're pressurizing that pressure vessel. And then it's like kind of like bouncing back towards the sensor. So like motor speed would tend to bounce a little bit. So in terms of operation, the pumps seem very consistent and the motor speed seems pretty stable. So that I'd think that'd be an indication that things are operating a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Bird dog in that whole project. That was quite an accomplishment. Meant to see that through on all three sites.
And then, I mean, I don't know if I should bring it up now. It'll be on the warrant for next, but I did get like a final, he did shoot me an invoice for it. And we came in at, the total was 49 for around like 49 for everything, which is like significantly under cost. Cause this was, I think the tank itself was 79,000. And that was back when we first started doing all this. And that wasn't including like installation, demoing or anything. So I think we came in significantly under cost to get all three sites done. So yeah, that's good.
Nice job.
Great, thanks.
Yep.
All right. Any other questions for Mike? All right, Mike, thank you. Let's move on to general business. We'll try to go through these fairly quick. We've got quite a few of them, but I think right up out of the gate is the bid package for the Brown Faber Alley mainline replacement. So actually, Mike, don't go too far away. So you want to give a quick status update on that? I see I see some kind of bid in the packet here.
That was just an updated quote. I haven't sought out any bids or anything like that. I just wanted to get an idea of how much our cost has increased for pricing since we first started looking at tackling this as opposed to now. So we could kind of discuss whether or not we wanted to start ordering parts and stocking things up so that we can lock in pricing and then also be ready for when we do decide to pull the trigger on it, which, you know, we should probably work on it at some point.
Well, the other thing they're not saying is lead time on here. We've seen on a lot of the stuff, everything's at 6 weeks.
Yeah. So the last time I ordered meters, when I did, and this was a few months ago, they said January of 2023 is when we'd get our meters. So that's why I kind of wanted to at least get these parts, on the books in terms of like being ordered, so that we're not, way far back in line, because it's kind of crazy right now.
I'll make a motion to authorize our water operator to purchase parts for the Brown Faber up to $40,000.
If we have that capacity, I would second that for sure.
Okay, we got a motion and a second on the parts for the Brown Faber Alley mainline replacement. Let's go ahead and take a vote.
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
Director Phillips?
Aye.
Okay, and that is the motion to authorize up to $40,000 for the estimate on the parts for the Brown Faber Alley replacement.
Okay, next item 8.1.1.2. Capital improvement plan, projects and cost estimate. We're still trying to set a meeting date for this. Seems like we're knocking a lot of these out, but we still have that CIP plan and estimate project plan to review.
So can I just ask, is this going to be led by North Star?
Yes.
Okay. Can we have North Star, if it's not too much trouble, send out open dates that work for you guys, and then we can select them based on our openings?
Yeah, we tried that to do it a while ago. It was a little bit difficult, but Mark, is that something we can have you guys do?
Yep, I can get on that.
Okay. we got to get that going. I think it's going to get tough in June, July, but the sooner the better. Okay, 8.1.1.3. We got a letter from the Rural Water Association on leak detection. Is this somebody that would just come in, an outside contractor that would come in and find leaks?
Yes, and so they'll do three pipelines for us. That's what their leak detection program authorizes. So I've already coordinated with the gentleman that will be conducting the leak detection. It'll be in September. I mean, I kind of already know one that's leaking, which was obviously the Brown Faber pipeline. So I don't know if you guys want him to even spend any time on that, or I can kind of have him go to another. We can forget about that one and assume that it's not in great condition and go elsewhere. Do you guys want me to have that? Okay.
Yeah, since we already authorized the parts ordering, I think we're down the road on that one. Why don't we utilize this time in another area
Okay, sounds good.
And just a suggestion too is probably target steel pipes. Normally plastics are, when they blow, you'll know steel is the leakers that seem to not surface. So if you can maybe target the steel, old steel. Ooh.
Okay, 8.1.1.4, California Community Service and Development Low Income Household Water Assistance Program. It's open to customers. We've got a website. Have we sent this out to our rate payers, Jeannie?
No, they just finally got the portal open in June this month. So it'll go on next month's bill and it will... or on the website.
Perfect. Okay, sealed meters.
This is all, these are all for information and not requiring action as modified by modified agenda. So you can probably cruise through these.
Any ones you wanna highlight, Jeannie?
I'll highlight the audit 2020. Kevin, I sent you a couple of emails, but we did not get any responses back on our audit RFP. The deadline was the 12th of June, and I got a couple of questions, but no hit and no submittals. So we need to figure out plan B on acquiring our...
I'll get back to you this week on that to set a second deadline for that, and we'll resubmit.
Okay. Great, thanks.
Okay, let's jump down to 8.6 and move into the memorandum to the board. If we could, let's go to 8.6.2 since the Brock family is on the line here. Let's go ahead and jump to their request. So we heard most of your request. And I think it's maybe now that Jeff is on the line too, maybe you could take a second and just restate what you were thinking and what you were looking at, just so we could maybe take a quick understanding before we respond.
Yeah, absolutely. We were just hoping, we've only been in Durham for about 4 years now, but we just thought long term. One of our friends said, if you can ever put in a well, it's just wise with all that's happening with water over the next, I don't think in the next 5-10 years much would necessarily go on, but next 50 years it's really unpredictable. And we went through the whole campfire nightmare, and it kind of changes you a little bit in terms of you change the way you view things. And so we just thought that would be, that'd be a really good idea just to have that. The house that we purchased, it already had a lot of solar, and so we're going to add a lithium ion battery so that you could have power constantly if you ever needed, and all the trees that we planted and the lawn and everything, and doing that with the irrigation, it'd be awesome if we could get your permission to put one in. I met with Tim Besser, and he was saying the well would be somewhere around $30,000 to do a 5-inch small irrigation well. But anyhow, he said that he said they could do it. It wouldn't be until next year sometime that he'd even have a availability. But as I said before, with Paul, with the Department of Environmental Health, he had just mentioned that we would need to come to you first to request permission. And then he'll still, even if you grant permission for us to go through the application process, there's still another government agency that Paul said they'd have to take it through with the state of California to see if they would even approve the 5-inch, the small irrigation well to have it on the property. But we just have, it's a 1-acre lot. And anyhow, that's pretty much everything. So.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Are you mostly concerned about the availability of the water? Are you concerned about the cost?
No,
concerned about the, what's the
no, main the cost, driver? I'd say the cost with Durham Irrigation District is phenomenal. My wife's sister is up in Washington State, and she talks about how during the summer months, she cuts the watering way back just because the bill just gets out of control really quick.
I can't even tell her what we pay because I feel too bad.
It's just more of just long-term. I mean, and on a complete side note, just the fact that all of you put all this time in, I've never seen one of these meetings before. And the fact that I don't know you, Mike, I couldn't see your face on the screen, but the fact that you're out at 3 a.m.,
sometimes that's the only time I can get the data that I need, so, and I'm a morning person, so I don't mind.
But that's I would just say just thank you all, because when I brought up when Jeannie had mentioned about the Zoom meeting, she was the amount that you're given for your time for all of you contributing to this, it'd actually be nice if you guys could have that increased somewhat for how much work you put in to keep the water going well for everyone in the community. But for us, I would just say more, again, it's more long-term thinking. We had never planned on leaving Paradise. I've been there since I was in diapers. And I just think long-term, it'd just be nice to, my father-in-law also said they have a well up in Washington. He said, if you're ever able to get one, he said, it's just a wise idea. So that's what prompted all this.
Well, maybe what we can do, unless we have directors that want to respond, maybe we could, now that we have a request from you, is to go back and kind of talk about it and discuss it on our side to see how we'd come back. And I know there's some requirements from the county as far as that's concerned. I think they alluded that to you. But unless we have some directors' thoughts right now, maybe
can I make a comment?
Yes.
And it's nothing against you as a opportunity to get a well in your backyard, but I know as a irrigation district, and especially with all of the groundwater issues that are going on and SGMA and all kinds of different things, I do think it's the policy of the district to try to eliminate as many private wells within the district as possible, so that for the betterment of the district, that we are basically watching the groundwater level and knowing the amount that is pumping out for the betterment of the district, so that we're all working together to make sure we have a sustainable groundwater underneath. So I do think I hear what you're trying to do, and I applaud you for it. But as a district, I do believe that our policy right now is actually to eliminate private wells are within the district rather than adding to private wells that are within the district. So that's kind of, I believe, the direction that I've, I'm one vote, but that's kind of the direction that I've been kind of going towards.
And I'd like to just kind of make the note too, that any decision that we do make, Kyle, I mean, it's got to be based on what the three of us feel is the best for the district, so there's I hope if it doesn't go your way, there's no hard feelings, and that you can just understand that's where we're coming from. I mean, personally, I'd like to have a well myself, but I'm not sure that that probably will fly, but we'll discuss it with our council and our engineer and probably give you an official response at some point.
I would just say that the basic economics are going to prohibit most people from even pursuing. Again, it's a 5-inch. I think that's going to be your biggest prohibitor of anybody applying for these kind of things. We financially we're in a good spot, and so for us, it would be fine to make that kind of a long-term purchase. But obviously that's why it's up to your discretion. I mean, it'd be kind of nice to be able to actually do something like this. You purchase your property and you pay a lot to, obviously you're not tied in with the tax side of things, but, long-term too, we don't know. Who knows? I mean, water rights and things shift over the years. And so, being able to get some sort of an approval like this, I would think that even if in the next 50 years, if Durham Irrigation District was owned by some other, with regards to water, it would just be nice to be able to do that. Kind of like with the NIM 3 that was being proposed on the solar end, it was nice to be able to get grandfathered into NIM 2 with PG&E prior to, with the new proposal that was coming down the pipeline. That's been tabled at this time, but I would assume in the next year or two that'll probably pass in some variation. So anyhow, it would just be nice as time goes on, it seems like it gets more challenging to do things like this. So maybe you guys could give one for the little guy. So.
Well, Kyle, I live right around the corner from you on LaRose Court. And when I moved here in 2010, I bought the lot in 2007. I assumed that I needed to drill well when I bought the lot. And I was very surprised to hear that it came with water. I was very surprised. So I was ready to do it. And probably at the time back then, probably could have done it. So I understand what you're asking for, and I kind of moved to the neighborhood with the same impressions and thoughts. So we'll give it some honest discussion and thought and come back to you one way or another.
Yeah, we would still, just for the record, if there had to be a condition applied, that we would continue to use Durham Irrigation District water. And I'm fine not even turning the well on if that had to be a condition on this. But having that as an option in the future to be able to access that, there's just so many reasons why that would be a good, the most, crucial element of anything in life is water. And so just knowing that we would have an option if in the next 50 years things got challenging. So.
Understood.
Well, thank you so much for your time
and
hearing our feedback. So,
yeah, thank you guys for joining us. Appreciate it. And nice to see you and meet you. And take care, Braxton. Thank you. All right. So let's move along to item 8.6.1, go back to it. The 2400 Campbell Street, resolving the billing matter.
Hey, before we jump onto that, I just got a quick question from Mark. Since, that subdivision is basically one of the most modern ones that we have here in town, and it went through the whole county process, the whole CEQA process and all that and everything, all the conditions were based on community water. What's the protocol to change those approval conditions? I mean, when that subdivision map went through, it was community water. That was the deal.
That's a good question because, you went through the initial study CEQA documentation, I have run into that before.
Well, I think maybe that would be, one of our justifications in there, it's not like he's out on 5 acres at the edge of town. I mean, this is the best water system that we have in town right now, basically.
Yeah. Well, the other part of it is, you know, the rules for water conservation are get more stringent with time, you know, and we'll, the district ends up being the gatekeeper for water conservation. And if people have punched a bunch of wells in, you know.
The Wild West.
The Wild West, yeah, it's not going to serve the purposes. Who knows what's going to come out of the Sigma stuff.
Yeah, it would be really risky, in my opinion, to set that precedent, you know.
Yeah.
I sure wouldn't want to do that. But I guess, you know, my next question, you know, to Jeff, and I think he answered in that email, I mean, do we have the authority to say no? Because yes. A lot of wells have gone in the last 5 years around us, and it seems like we've been, you know, a day late and a dollar short for our comments on any of those.
I'm happy the county has requested that he approach the district first. So that means the county is aware that there may be a jurisdictional issue here. And yes, our whole purpose as a district is to preserve and protect our ability to provide water to our customers. And Mark is correct. Once we let one person put a well in, we're going to have a number of private wells going in, and it's going to affect the water table.
And, you know, I know we really, the ball really got dropped on the whole Parker, you know, the big dog corp walnut subdivision or whatever, but, you know, that house that just went in on Durham Dayton Highway, just two houses down from Durham Greens. I mean, they put a well in there, lickety split, and that was just 6 months ago.
It may very well be that we want to sit down with the environmental health over the county and have a meeting with them. And I would thank them for making the Brock family come to us first, but make certain that that is the status, the standard operating procedure, that anybody thinking of drilling a well within the district must get our approval before they do it. And Mark, in that regard, we ought to be looking at what kind of standards we're going to be setting if we see an onslaught of applications come our way.
Yeah, $30,000 for a well. I don't see how the dollars work out on that one, but obviously it's more emotional than financial.
Engineering duplication, I think. They just want to make certain that if the district's ability to deliver is compromised, that they will not go without water.
Or he makes a good point on his comment about, you know, the sale of the district. I mean, you know, if we sell, you know, to Cal Water, and, you know, but that actually kind of goes against it, because once it goes to a private company, then they would be able to probably drill a well a lot easier than they would under our jurisdiction. So I don't know. Jeannie, you had your hand up.
I just want to say that Mr. Brock also brought up, when he was talking to me, and it's in your memo, that there Besser has drilled other wells within our sphere of influence, I guess. I mean, like, there's our service area where we actually have, like, customers who are piped in, but we also have, like, a sphere of influence, which may be a little outside of our current, like, where our pipelines run. So that's also an issue. And those wells have gone in without anybody consulting us, if I take the information that Mr. Brock gave me accurately.
I think that is accurate. And that was kind of to my point that I was mentioning, that, you know, one just went in 6 months ago.
Yeah.
In our service area, I believe.
And I took a call yesterday from the owner of a property at 2126 Durham Dayton Road Highway, which is near to Butte Creek. And he has an eightplex there. You guys are probably familiar with it. And he's having some issues with his well. So he was asking about, how could I get connected to Durham irrigation? And I'm like, well, we haven't really developed a policy on that yet. He's going to try and get the well drilled deeper, but people are looking and asking, and you know, these requests won't stop either for a service.
Yeah, well, as soon as Tony Sims subdivision goes through, I mean, we'll be right, we'll have water right across the street. We'll have a pipeline for him.
Matt, you're the administration committee, aren't you?
Yes.
Perhaps Mark, you and I can get together next week and see how we're going to approach the county on this and make some method out of the madness going on right now.
Okay, I've got it. I'll can I text you guys on Monday to set up a time?
Please, yeah, that would be perfect.
Okay, I got it.
Hey, Chairman Doyle.
Yes.
I'm sitting in a parking lot in Yuba City, about 45 minutes from home. So unless you got questions for me, speak fast. I'm ready to.
Jeannie, you see anything on here you need Mark's answer for before he leaves?
Offhand, no, probably need some guidance on the drought.
Well, real quick on Durham Deli, 8.6.3. Mm-hmm. Do we have any update on Durham Deli?
He came in today. Mr. Day came in today and asked, like, where does it stand? And I said, well, the board needs to give me guidance on what he needs, which is, it sounds like based on what Mark last commented was like, let's get the his engineer's calculations stamped or, you know, approved so that he's on the hook for the water calculation and not us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how big the deli is. I don't know how many seats are in there. I don't know what sort of equipment he has. I don't know what hours he's got. I don't know anything about it. So I cannot judge it. So he can give us all that stuff so we can try and judge what's going on, or his engineer can just give it to us.
Has their engineer reached back out to you? I mean, that's my understanding. That's what we're waiting on is Wes to give you some solid information and with his stamp on it. And we can say, yes, that sounds reasonable. Move ahead. Or,
yeah,
fine.
So, Jeannie, maybe you can call Dave back and tell him we're waiting for his engineer.
Okay. He assumed that his engineer and Mark had talked. And I'm like, I don't know that. I wasn't CC'd on anything. So I'll be happy to give him guidance on that. I don't know how to handle the backflow issue, backflow device issue. I mean, this is the reason why it gets kicked out to the board meeting is because I've either asked for guidance and I haven't gotten it.
We'll put a backflow on. We're gonna have to put a backflow on there.
Yes.
Right, but there's two parcels. There are two parcels, each of which is like a food-related business, right? There's the Empire Club and there's Durham Deli. And I told Mr. Day that today. I'm like, I don't know if there's going to be two backflow devices or only one. I don't know how many, because I assume the backflow devices are related to like the water lines actually coming into that business or businesses. So I don't know.
Mike, what do you recommend?
Well, I think that we should kind of treat it the same way that we treated the, we just recently did one a few service connections down. The building is fed by one service connection, but we installed two meters. We left one capped, and he actually, that was the plan originally, and then he was able to get it connected while we were doing the work. But yeah, we provide two service connections because there's only one for that building, and then maybe cap one, and it'll be his responsibility to undo the plumbing or separate it and put in two backflows and two service connections, because we should have one per parcel, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like we've had this discussion once before too, that you need to be treated just like the Needful Things guy. You know, he needs to pay $6.50 for each parcel for the meter, and then we need to, and he needs, probably needs to pay for the backflow, right?
Yes.
And then he needs to figure out how to separate them, and he'll get charged two services and usage. And the usage will either be out of 1 meter or 2 meters. until he gets it separated.
Okay, I will communicate to him that setup. One, it'll be one service line with 2 meters, 2 backflow devices, and additionally, we request a is it a report? I guess it would be a report from his engineer confirming the water usage for the Durham Deli.
Yeah, you can. If he has questions, just tell him to have Wes give me a call.
Okay.
Did Mr. Day, did we get the billing name on his account? It still says Jerry Walters. Is that that's the deli, correct? Or is that the Empire Club?
I don't have anything set for the deli. It's only the Empire Club, which is also in an arrears. So, and he hasn't paid that either. So I'll consolidate a letter addressing many points and send it to him.
Just make sure that one isn't contingent on the other. These are all separate. You know, the engineering for the deli is separate from our meter issue and separate from, you know. And then you can let them know, too, that we're going to be taking a vote to send this stuff to the county to be leaned. So if he isn't current by whatever our date is, that he runs that risk.
Okay, can we let Mark go? All right, Mark, drive safe. Jeannie, 2400 Campbell Street.
The memo describes what the issue is. It was set up in our billing system as a metered site. The ground reporting, checking reveals no meter there. So the customer is, and we've been charging the customer an estimated water usage based on the idea that we haven't been able to access the meter. So I ran a little analysis and we've overcharged the customer versus what the flat rate would have been if they had been appropriately entered into this, our billing system as flat rate.
How much do we owe them? $2,000?
$74.
Oh.
It was pretty accurate given.
Dang.
Well, it was a low water. I mean, who knows how much the actual water they actually use, right?
Right.
It could have been valued at a lot more, but what we charged them for versus what the flat rate would have been.
So when you asked for guidance on this, do you just want approval to be able to send them $74 back?
I would issue a credit to them. I would never send them. I don't think I would send them a check. I would offer them a credit.
Okay.
But did we ever sign the meter? Are we putting the meter in so we have the issue resolved, or what how's that going?
Well, there's no record of any demand request indicating a change in ownership. I think they've lived there forever. So there's no trigger. There's no common trigger that we use for installing a meter and charging a meter.
Oh, okay. I didn't. So it was just a clerical error on our part saying that was a meter service. Gotcha. Okay.
I think so. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to jump ahead here. Director Phillips needs to leave in about 15 minutes. So what I'd like to do is jump to Jeff's report, because it looks like we have a closed session. So Jeff, if you're prepared, maybe you can jump in and take the next 15 minutes between your update and the closed session so we can get Director Phillips on the road.
Surely. The ballot measure, the elections office, I will get the low-hanging fruit.
This is not the closed session, right?
Just let me know when I need to pause the recording.
Oh, okay. Let's go into the closed session then. Let's go into the closed session. Awesome recording.
Jeff, do I have to say something?
I will report out during closed session. We discussed 2 matters, one involving pending litigation affecting the Vina GSA, of which the district is a member, and we also discussed a personnel matter.
Thank you. Jeff, anything you want to update on your report, on your attorney report in public session on item nine?
On item nine, I will fill out the form and get it to you, Matt, to sign and send it in for the election coming up.
Okay.
You can sign it and send it in, and that's due by July 7th. So I will be getting it to you shortly.
I'll be back in town on Friday. I can come by your office if you'd like.
Good. I will email you as soon as it's ready.
Okay.
And then Jeff, am I up for election? Is that what I heard?
You are. You okay. are.
All right.
And so we're taking campaign contributions for you now.
I appreciate it. I need
when
it.
When people come in to pay their bills, Jeannie's hitting them up for contributions.
The best contribution is in the form of beer. So just
board members, one question is if whoever runs for the office wants to submit a candidate statement.
No.
Do we pay for it or do we let the candidate pay for it?
I'm not doing it, so you don't need to worry about it.
Okay.
All right, I got to jump off.
Good.
That's always thank you, Kevin. Candidate.
Bye.
Thanks, Kevin.
Raymond, I couldn't hear you.
In the past, we've asked that questions and asked, and we've always said it's on the candidate.
Good. I agree.
Is that just their manifesto on why we should vote for them? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Other than that, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, Vina GSA. We got some SHAC meetings, some board meetings, and some GSA board meetings. Raymond, you want to give us the lowdown, or Jeff, or?
SHAC meeting on Wednesday at 9 a.m.
Okay.
Which is tomorrow.
Wow.
Somehow it feels like Monday, but it's tomorrow at 9 a.m. Zoom meeting.
Okay.
I have not been requested to attend, so I may watch on my own accord, but not for the district on the track meeting. So Jeannie, just so you know, when I request a stipend for a meeting, be it a SHAC or a special meeting, it's because I've been asked to attend. I do attend water commission meetings on occasion, unless I am asked. To do it, I consider that on my own. If I'm asked to attend a special SHAC meeting to discuss financing, I'll request a stipend for that, which is what I did. If I'm just gonna zoom in on a SHAC meeting just to kind of hear what's going on for my own benefit as a member of the Vina GSA, that's on my dime. The last one I what was the one that the the brown bag lunch, I was asked to attend to listen to the farmer's report. So I requested a stipend on that one because I was asked to attend that one. So anyway, that's how that goes. But
and I'll just let the directors who are here know that I have been asked on occasion and probably on a more regular basis to help with the management of the Vina GSA Zoom meetings. So I'll be tracking those hours on a separate timesheet, basically, so that when the time comes, you can count my time and hours as an in-kind donation or in-kind contribution to the Vina GSA. So
is that part of our sweat equity, Jeff? On
yes, yes.
Okay. Anything else from anybody?
I heard we're going all out of order now on the agenda, but especially since Jeff is here, I got an email from Mike Butler asking about the status of his agreement, his contract for water operator services. So I was like, I'm out of the loop on that.
Just an independent contractor agreement with Mike, right?
Yep.
Okay.
With the escalator. Yeah.
Yep. I will get you a form agreement for that.
And then I think we tabled one for the elections division, a notice of office to be filed. I think we just talked about that. Jeff, are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we're good with that.
And then also going out of order, just I emailed both Kevin and Jeff on this, but so the accounts receivable letters have not gone out yet because I had a question about water shutoffs. Kevin had a question because the draft letter that I received from Jeff said, it was a draft form letter, which included the statement that if your bill is not paid by X date, your water will be shut off. And Kevin said, wait, I thought we weren't doing water shutoffs. Jeff, can you please clarify? And then nothing happened. So I'm sorry, but that question needed to be answered before I can send out letters to the customer.
I see Matt and Raymond shaking their heads. So there will be no water shutoffs.
No water shutoffs. Thank you for taking that letter.
Yeah, I mean, we could we leave it in there as we may shut it off?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say leave it as we may shut it off. But I think but with this policy that we're trying to implement here is we wanted to eliminate having Mike run around shutting people off, turning people back on. We just want them to pay by the end of June or we're going to turn it over to the county. And then
I think that's the best way to do it. As much as I had my Snidely Whiplash hat on, I was doing my handlebar mustache, I will stand down.
Well, I think it's good to say to give them fair warning and say, here's what could happen. And then in the end, we'll let them battle with the county.
Yep.
Jeannie, anything else?
Let's see, just looking at the items here. USBR seems to be in good shape. Easement agreement between Durham Unified.
Yes.
I don't know what I got the easement. I got the language, but I'm not sure what the next steps were.
So I will work on that. I just got the language too from Mark, and so you and I have the description, but now we have to make it an agreement that between the Unified School District and the district, and that'll be easily done.
And that's going to be recorded with the county.
Yeah, and that's for connections on the east side of Durham Dayton. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, good.
On the high school side of Durham Dayton.
Yes, the high school side, yes.
Okay, and then I have no idea what to do about that conflict of interest update.
I have reviewed it and we are current, so I will get that to you shortly because we want to get it in by August 1.
Okay, thanks.
But our current conflict of interest code is current. It is, we don't need to change it. So it's sufficient.
Okay. There was that note that I found in previous board meetings that there was supposed to be a resolution passed relating to it, and it was never passed. So I don't know. That was like my other question. I don't know if we need to reintroduce it and repass it or what. So
let me check that too. I don't recall that, but let me check that. It'll be easy enough to do one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then I'm not sure of next steps on the WILSER for Butte County Farm Bureau project on Jones Avenue. It's going to be a 2-inch connection. That'll be about $30,000 connection fee when that gets, we issue the WILSER letter.
Did we provide them a copy of our connection fees and they still selected the 2-inch?
I just emailed Colleen today because she just let me know today what the size connection was because she had to research it. So I replied back to her saying, it's being reviewed by council and our district engineer. And oh, by the way, here's our proposal. Here's our fee list. And that 2-inch connection is a $30,000 connection fee.
Yeah,
I haven't heard back from her.
that is a lot of water. That is that is a lot of water. I mean, that's like you're setting up a brewery or something. I mean, you're going to.
Yeah.
I have pause as to why they need a 2-inch connection, you know.
Jeannie, could you go back to them and ask if they're certain of that? If that was our engineer's calculations, is that correct?
Probably their engineers, right?
Yeah, they're engineers. So I could give her a call.
Yeah, that's just the number she gave me. Mark is the only reason why I even question her on the size of it, because he's like, that's a 5-acre parcel. They'll probably need more than a 1-inch line. So that's why I was like, let me confirm with her. And that's what she confirmed to me.
Okay, well,
probably putting in a small orchard in.
They'll probably want a well.
Yep.
I mean, $30,000, right? You can put your own well in, or you can get a 2-inch connection.
Yep.
All right, Jeff, you're around next week for when I touch base with you and Mark about that Tracy Ranch. Well, okay,
good. Yes.
All right, anything else?
I just want to make it official about our stance on the $4,000. Do we want to make a vote on that?
Please.
Yeah, so I'll make a motion in Kevin's absence that we're okay with providing the $4,000 for legal fees in the form of a loan only, not as contribution.
I second that. So we'll do a roll call vote, just a motion and a second. We'll do a roll call vote on it.
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
And Director Phillips is absent.
You got your, we know we got some marching orders to go back to them with?
Yes.
Okay.
Jeff, have you been attending management committee meetings?
Or yes.
Kind of getting that from my family here?
I have more than I want to get from Cammy, including stuff I don't want to get, but yes, I'm attending the meetings and staying abreast of the management issues. There will be some changes we're seeing. The county is reconsidering its approach to this, from what my understanding is, the money will be going to the Department of Water Resources, which will be doling out the money.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for...
That's on the QT right now.
And then I have one more item, gentlemen, sorry. 8.8, under SB 552, small water suppliers will be required to start developing drought planning. And the two requirements are that the two closest deadlines are coming up on January 1st, 2023. One is for small water suppliers to be able to detect production well groundwater levels. So Mike's request, getting that estimate for the sonic well level detector is right on time. So that's great. We will have to probably provide levels on all three of our wells, but I agree with his approach on starting with one and seeing how well it works and you can get that data. The second part of that is to be a member of a mutual aid organization. And the one that exists right now is CalWARN. And I would just like permission to be able to get the district set up on that. Unless you want me to research other alternatives.
Jeff, is there any chance we're small enough to be exempt from the small
district? I will look into that. And yes, I would hope that we come under the radar screen on this one. So Jeannie, sit tight and I'll look into this by early next week.
Okay.
I don't mind taking the steps necessary, but if we don't have to participate in it, we can take these steps on our own accord. I'd rather do that than under the thumb of a...
Okay.
I will report back.
All right. Anything else?
Well, there will be other issues for the next board meeting. That's what for me.
Always. Thank you, Jeannie. Thanks for everything. And excellent meeting. Jeff, thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
We're going to start at 5:30 next month. So just to let you know.
Good.
Mark your calendars.
Good. I was having the most difficult time. I had Jeannie and I were carrying on a texting conversation. And I couldn't get my audio on.
We were all having the same problem, Jeff.
Oh, okay, good. Good.
I couldn't log in. Raymond couldn't log in. Then my audio wouldn't work, and then his audio wouldn't work. We were all screwed up.
Thank you. I thought it was my being as old as I am that was interfering with it.
I'm going to blame it on Zoom.
Thank you.
The Russians. All right. With that, we'll move to adjourn. Jeannie, you can go ahead and stop the recording, and we'll see you.